Let's go!
Alright. Welcome to episode 8 of the STR Gamer Podcast. My name is Brian.
I'm Sam.
And we're here to fill your ear holes with garbage.
Like, I'm only happy when it rains.
Oh, that's not garbage. That's a good song.
It is garbage.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
I just blew your mind.
You did. You broke a small part of my mind that was still able to deal with your punning. And now,
Shirley Manson is married to
nobody.
Nobody.
She's dying, gonna die unhappy and lonely.
Wait, so she was dating Gavin Rossdale like in the 90s sometimes, and then he's now married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, you are not. Nah, you have no idea what you're talking about. I don't think, I mean, Shirley Manson probably sluttered her way around the music scene pretty good, but I don't think she and Gavin Rossdale were ever a thing.
I thought they were. I remember that from my middle school or high school days, listening to garbage.
Maybe that was the fan fiction you were writing in your private time.
I did write quite a bit of fan fiction, but none of it about garbage.
Celebrity hookups?
Yeah. So what have you been geeking out about this week?
That's a good question. What have I been geeking out this week?
Things that are awesome, I hope.
Unlikely. What the hell? I haven't really played a lot.
Get on it. What are you doing?
I'm trying to think. Oh, well, I'll tell you one thing I'm geeking out. I'm looking forward to the newest release of Out of the Park Baseball. Came out today.
What is that?
It's a text-heavy, statistics-heavy baseball simulator for the PC and Mac.
I bet that is the grittiest.
It is
of the crunchiest.
It is super crunchy. It's the kind of thing where every time, and this comes out every year, and every time I buy the game, generate a fictional league with the same teams, mm-hmm. with completely fictional players, and then it does an inaugural draft where it puts all the players it's generated into a draft mm-hmm. pool, and you redraft. And so I end up going. I create spreadsheets. I create new measurements of like average statistics or the statistics that I care about for certain positions. So then I create my own rankings for each of the positions because the game does that for you. But it's not good enough for me. I spend hours just going through these things. It's like I'm drafting my own real major league team.
That's awesome. It should be mentioned that you spent how much time in college playing?
an obscene amount playing high heat baseball.
High heat baseball.
1999 or 2000. I think it was 1999.
That was your version of what Morrowind was for me.
Yeah, pretty much. Except I probably played more high heat baseball than you did. I mean, each game took about 20 minutes to half an hour. I played 14 full seasons of games.
I mean, that's a lot, but I played like 3-4 hours a day of Morrowind.
Yeah, but you don't understand. It's like a 1,000 hours of baseball games. This is what I did instead of graduating on time.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that the other day when I was thinking about playing this game, wishing that there was a good arcade baseball game for the Xbox or PC.
Yeah.
I mean, the only good, even good one is the show on PS3, and I refuse to buy a console just for one game. The sheer visceral memories I have of playing that game and, you know, coming up with my favorite left-handed hitter who happened to be named Clark through no artifice of my own, just like Will Clark from the Giants, and just hitting the ball just right and seeing it go out to win the game. I mean, that happened probably 4 or 5 times over the course of 14 seasons that I was playing, but it was just always super rewarding every time it did.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's super cool. So
that's funny because I was looking today at FIFA Football Manager, and I've heard of it, but I've never really looked at it. And I'm a big fan of the FIFA games, but I tend to like not gravitate towards sports games just because I played a crap ton of Madden when I was younger, and like I know that they've like iterated on the franchise, but it just kind of formulaic to me. And FIFA, I love FIFA. I mean, I would definitely get into FIFA if they had some sort of updated roster so that I didn't have to buy a new version every year, because that's the main thing. Like with me, like I usually wait till games go down in prices, and by the time like FIFA 11 goes down in price. FIFA 12 is coming out, you know. And so I've yet to see, like, EA or any of the developers come with a model where you can basically just update your roster every year and rather than releasing, you know, a sequel every year to the same franchise, because they make money doing so. But I was looking at Football Manager and I was just like, oh my God, this is so crunchy. Like, you know, it's exactly the same kind of thing. Like you basically can play as a manager and do all of your, you know, stats and everything like that. It looks like really cool.
Yeah, but soccer has nowhere near the same number of stats that baseball does.
But soccer is awesome.
Yeah, I can't.
You are wrong with anything you're about to say right now.
I can't go with you on that one. It's just too slow. So
you're doing it wrong.
Maybe, but that's okay. I'm American. I get to not like soccer. but yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I've just missed the pre-order window where I could have had it 2 days ago.
Was it coming on Steam?
No, it's only released through the website. Crazily enough, I mean, this is the premier, probably the premier baseball simulator game. Mm. It's made by a team in Germany.
Oh, cool.
Because they just love baseball so much.
That's great.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to Trench, which I haven't played at anything of, but I've watched a bunch of coverage of. It seems like a really, really good, fun game.
And that comes out today, right?
It came out today, yeah. So Double Fine's latest and greatest, it sounds like. Sounds like the gameplay mechanics are solid, and the humor is really, really good. So I never played Costume Quest or Stacking, the other two sort of mini projects that they put out since Brutal Legend. But this one I'm psyched enough for that I want to go get it.
It looks a bit more complex and more mature than either of those games.
In a certain sense, it definitely is.
I mean, it still kind of looks kind of goofy and cartoony and whatever, but yeah, in terms of the references and stuff it makes.
Yeah, it seems a little more adult. So looking forward to that. I mean, I can't really say what I've been playing. I must have been playing something, but...
Well, we played a crap ton of games on a couple days ago.
Yeah, we did. We played, you know, the usual Mortal Kombat, some Halo, some Street Fighter.
A little bit of Marvel vs. Capcom.
Played some Marvel vs. Capcom 3, yeah. But yeah, it's crazy to me that I can't think back over the last week and think of what I've been playing. Oh, you know what I've been playing? I've gotten back into Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Seriously?
I've been playing COD Blops. And yeah, that game still satisfies that sort of instant action need.
I'm impressed. Yeah. So you haven't been playing LA Noire and instead have been
I haven't played it.
It's definitely a different genre, so yeah. I can understand.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. I was looking at my Xbox games before I came over to your place the other day to play, and I was like, I haven't been playing LA Noire. I haven't been playing Alan Wake. I haven't been playing Red Faction Guerrilla, which I got for free. I still haven't finished Darksiders. I mean, by list of shame of games that I've started but have not finished, it's just...
Well, I don't blame you on Red Faction or Alan Wake. Like, neither of those, I think, like, really need to be...
Offer a compelling experience, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, Darksiders, I mean, it's worth finishing, especially because since they've, you know, recently released the trailer for the new one and stuff. Yeah. But,
yeah, so, I don't know. But, yeah, I just don't know. There's too much going on, too much coming out.
Oh, there's a ton of
excited stuff. About. Yeah, some of the guys I follow on Twitter from Idle Thumbs have recently started replaying Deus Ex.
The original?
Yeah, and you know, highlighting fun moments from that game. And I played like 15 hours in the game, but I never made it past like that first mission because I kept remaking characters with new ways to play the game.
That's cool.
So I'm not going to go back and play that. That game looks like crap now. But it does make me kind of excited for the new Deus Ex, which hopefully will be something of a successor to that.
Yeah, I really hope that's going to be good, because that looks really cool.
What have you been geeking out about?
So, I've been playing, let's see, what did I play? I've been playing a lot of Dungeons & Dragons Online. I've been going through...
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've been going through playing a bunch of those content packs, the adventures that I bought like a couple months ago. And loving that. It's really easy to find a party or to start one. And
the player population in that is pretty stable.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. Really healthy population. People are like always doing stuff. And what I'm finding is that it's... I'm used to like getting a Full Party for... That is a Lion's bar or a Snickers bar?
It's a Snickers.
Yeah.
The one I specifically told you I wasn't going to open in the middle of the podcast.
You are the worst.
I am truly the worst.
As I said before the podcast, you're the salt of the earth, Scott.
Thank you.
And by salt of the earth, I mean scum of the earth. I've been in this mode of like, actually this is pretty interesting. I've been thinking about writing an article about this. Firstly, I've been in this mode like playing Dungeons and Dragons Online since we've been playing it forever. Of thinking that I need like a full party to do a lot of the quests, and a lot of them just don't. Like you need maybe four players, especially because people tend to know what they're doing. Or now you can just add like, you know, a henchman or a hireling, you know, if you need a cleric or something like that. And that makes it a lot easier to get a group together. And there's certain, you know, especially the newer content, people are usually doing a lot of the quests already. So sometimes, you know, someone will already be running it and you can run in, or I haven't really found a problem with, jumping in and, you know, going to looking for group tool and actually putting together a party. But something that I've noticed that's very different from my first approach, I think both of our approach to that game was the typical MMO mentality of leveling. You know, like, I need to get in, I want to get a party, so that I can get XP, so that I can go do, you know, the next quest, and etc., which is pretty typical for MMOs. And I'm no different than, you know, other people who play that way. But for some reason, getting back into Dungeons & Dragons Online and buying like a certain amount of content packs, I've noticed that I'm not so much interested in the XP because I'm interested in the content packs. So like my playstyle has slowed down a little bit, really only for that game. Like as for the other MMOs, I'm like, you know, just going crazy about all the content. But I'm generally like enjoying the content packs and like. Looking forward to like, you know, the next step in the adventure or whatever. And I'm not really watching the XP bar except to take note of the adventures that I'm getting too high level for. And I'm like, crap, am I going to be like, you know, am I going to out level this adventure area? So I'm going to have to do it with an alt or something like that. And it's a very different gaming experience. Like I'll open the looking for group tool and like read a book while it fills up rather than like just sitting there and being upset that like nobody's, you know, taking a bite so I can, you know, get this adventure done or whatever. It's a very different experience.
That sounds like a good one. Probably a healthy one. If we all savored our video games a little bit more, we'd probably enjoy them more.
Well, it seems like the game is made for that kind of playstyle, and I think that I haven't ever approached it that way until I was thinking that if I level too fast, I'm just going to have to do everything else with an alt so I can see this other content.
Yeah.
So I've never understood. I think in games like EverQuest or... I'm not sure which ones you can like stop leveling so that you can, you know, either keep up with your, have your friends keep up with you or whatever. And I've never understood that until DDO.
Yeah. We're like, I don't care about my experience level. You know, I want to be here forever.
Yeah, I want to like check out the content and then like organically move on to the next adventure rather than outpacing it, which is really interesting. It's fortunate that you can do a lot of, you know, you can redo the quests at hard or, you know, extreme or heroic or whatever. Or epic, I should say. So, like, if I do pass up some content, I can always just do it at a harder level. And so, been playing a lot of that. Still playing The Witcher.
Two?
The one. First one.
One.
The game is so epic. I was playing this one part the other day where, like, you have a choice whether to side with these vampires that are running a brothel.
Cool.
Female vampires. And in exchange, they basically, you basically spend a night with the brothel ladies. And I was just like, I'm not going to do this in-game because that will really screw over these other people I'm working with. But I just want to see. And
I'm going to save it and then make that choice.
Exactly. And I did that. And I was just like, this is interesting. And like the female vampires, they who just look like, you know, women, like gather around you, and there's not really great character modeling in that game except for a few of the characters like Geralt. But and then there's this flash and like one, and then the one of them who's sneaking up behind you because like she looks like a vampire. It's terrifying. Like it's nice. Like something out of a horror game, like the way that they do that. And I was like, crap, that's hella scary. So
and then do you get a card for one of the
vampires? Then you get a card for them.
Yeah. Is one of their breasts strategically hanging out of their clothing?
No, it's pretty tame. It's a, as the cards.
Oh, going. You don't have the you didn't download the European content patch.
Doesn't that come with the extended?
No, you have to specifically download it, even with the enhanced edition. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the first thing I did.
And it's different?
Yeah, there's tits all over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
All the cards are like nude and shit like that.
Well, the cards are definitely nude. Hmm. But some of them are tame.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, who knows? Maybe her breasts are little giant, tiny jaws.
I don't know, but they were scary.
Yeah.
Been playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Oh, yeah.
We played a little bit about that the other night. I love that game. I think it's really, really fast, really, really fun. Just as it seems to be just as deep as the second one, although I've never been like one of those crazy, you know, like people who are like really into it and know all of the different, you know, boxes, hit boxes for people or like the.
You're not a frame counter.
I'm not a frame counter, exactly. But it's really, I find it to be really fun. It's really satisfying. Tend to play a lot of the Marvel characters for some reason.
Because you're a nerd.
Because I'm a comic book nerd, among other things. I played some demos. I played the demo for Dungeon Siege.
Blah.
Yeah. I think we talked about... I was going through the podcast for last week, and I think we talked about your experience, and my experience was pretty much the same, except I played it on 360.
Yeah.
And even though that game is... clearly made for consoles, like unless they do something magically different, which I've heard that they don't, you know, after the demo content, it's pretty boring.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate because I really like that series.
Yeah, I mean, I Dungeon Siege 2, one of the few games I've ever finished. I mean, I did that. That was super fun. That game had the best loot of any game I've ever played. It was just
what a hell of a game to finish too. That was a big game.
It was a big game. And the end was pretty meh. But, you know, it was still fun. I mean, I found super cool loot right up all the way up till the end, so...
That's cool.
But not so for Dungeon Siege 3, because I ain't going to play that shit.
Yeah, it's just... It doesn't look... I don't know. It's just not very good. Also, I'm going to check out the demo for Duke Nukem Forever. I mean, we talked about it a ton last week. I'm just interested in playing it after the 14-year development debacle that it's had, and... See how it holds up to my memories of Duke Nukem 3D.
What do you remember about Duke Nukem 3D?
I remember a surprising amount about Duke Nukem 3D. I wrote an article about this that is like sort of reminiscing about my experience with Duke Nukem 3D since I had a friend in that I met in middle school or before at that time, and we had played the old Duke games. And then by the time Duke Nukem came out, I was in high school, and we were playing it. We would play it over dial-up, and have the phone on speakerphone. So we had basically a rudimentary like
VoIP or something.
Yeah,
it's not even just rudimentary like cell phones.
It was just a voice chat, you know. And playing that game, and it was pretty nuts. Like I really enjoyed that game. You know, I mean that. The one thing, other than like the shooting stuff and like the stupid jokes and whatever, that I remember is like just interacting with the environment, like with the pool table or with the table dancers or like all this stuff, which is just something that was kind of new in those games.
Shake it, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah. you listened to the Bombcast from last week, right?
I did.
Not this week, but last week, where Gersman is doing all the Duke
voices. Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was super funny. It's funny, I follow Dave Snyder, who's the chief engineer for Whiskey Media. And the engineers sit right outside the podcasting room. And he's like, I don't know where he gets the energy, but Jeff is going whole hog Duke Nukem in there.
It was like the entire episode of that.
Yeah, it was. It was great.
So that's what I've been geeking out about. Yeah, I've been playing some PSP games too. Whole ton of stuff coming out this week too.
Yep, there's, for 3-year.
Yeah, for 3-year. Doesn't look very good.
No, it doesn't. I watched a quick look this morning on Giant Bomb, and it is looks like a piece of shit.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. People seem to like the multiplayer for that game, but other than that, I don't really see. I don't know. I haven't really followed the series. The first game was too scary for me. So
this game does not seem very scary.
So, no, it doesn't.
But it's also a first-person shooter, and you know, if you can't do the slowdown, it'd be like trying to turn Max Payne into a multiplayer game. You know, without the slowdown, there's nothing that distinguished about it.
Sure, so, I mean, it's a major component of the game.
Yeah.
Shadows of the Dam came out.
Yep.
Don't really know much about the game except that it's supposed to be like the Duke Nukem sort of humor, but taken tongue-in-cheek enough that people actually find it funny.
It's by a Japanese developer, so I doubt that. But yeah, possibly. Who knows?
What part of it do you doubt?
That the Japanese could successfully articulate something like Duke Nukem, you know, culturally their sense of humor is not like that, and so I find it very difficult to believe that it's going to be funny to me. It might be funny to Japanese people. I don't know.
I think you should look that up. I mean, because it from what I've seen, it looks. I mean, neither of us have played the game, but like it's basically all dick jokes in the same vein, so to speak, as Duke Nukem, and people, from what I've read, people think that it's it works a lot better.
That wouldn't be hard, right? I mean, Duke pretty much delivered its 14-year-old jokes in a 14-year-old manner.
Pretty much.
Maybe 10 years. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... No, I'm not a huge fan of Japanese games in general, so, you know. I know it's the new... I don't want to say new hotness, because it's not really getting that much buzz, but among certain people, they're like, oh yeah, it's the new game from whatever that guy's name is, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm over, ever since American McGee, I'm over marquee developers, except for Sid Meier. Him I'll follow into hell.
Yeah.
Alice Madness Returns also came out this week.
Yeah. That also looks interesting.
That I'm much more interested in. I thought the first one had an absolutely amazing aesthetic. So this one looks to continue that. So it seems like it might be worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in playing it. Although I've heard that it kind of drags on longer than it needs to.
Yep.
Same. Like I loved the art style of the first one. Although I don't think it was that great of a game in terms of its gameplay. But that looks interesting. Trench comes out. The Mortal Kombat DLC. Came out
and is completely morphed.
It's supposedly
on arrival.
People are having connectivity issues with it, but people have been having issues with the online multiplayer since that game came out.
Yeah,
which is really surprising to me since the game is really well polished.
Yeah, but they've never done netcode, and netcode for fighting games is notoriously difficult to do. So
yeah,
God, I'm willing to cut them some slack. They've had a month and a half now to work on this patch, and they still can't get it right, which is a little bothersome. But
yeah,
since it's probably the same dudes working on the patch that made the game in the first place, they probably don't have any new ideas on how to fix this.
That's true.
So
they need some outside help.
Exactly.
On the MMO front, there's some cool stuff. I know that Lord of the Rings Online got a it's like summer festival and stuff, which is cool. And Dungeons & Dragons Online just got a new content update, which looks cool. It came out Monday for VIPs and today or tomorrow or the next day for everybody else. And Rift got a its new world event today.
Is there a new world event associated with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a huge, like, you know, free character transfers, which is unheard of. A bunch of like a new raid and a whole, you know, world event and stuff like that, which should be cool.
Interesting. Still not going to go back and play that game, but I'm glad it seems to be doing well. City of Heroes is going free to play.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, is it Champions Online that just went free to play?
Champions Online went free to play a few months ago.
Yeah, I always confuse those games.
Yeah, no reason you shouldn't. They're basically the same game.
Yeah.
But,
so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other MMO news. Oh, the really big rumor that's going around today, and I'm not sure if it's been confirmed or not, is that PopCap was going to be acquired.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That is a big rumor.
For $1 billion.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's a lot.
Turns out casual gaming does pay the bills.
Dude, if Zynga will tell you.
Yeah, Zynga will tell you. Yeah, seriously. The rumor is that it's EA that's making the bid, though.
Huh.
would piss Jeff Green off like nobody's business.
Wow, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be a big ass move for EA, because that's like that would be like a 15% of their market cap.
Yeah.
All in this one acquisition.
Yeah, but yeah.
PopCap throws off $100 to $150 million a year in profit. That's pretty damn good.
They're huge. And they're a great developer.
Thus far they have been, yeah. I worry about them getting swallowed up by somebody bigger because those guys suck. Would it be terrible with Activision? Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. That we'd get a new...
Plants vs. Zombies, 2012.
Year. Yeah, exactly. Plants,
Jesus.
God.
Yeah. Plants vs. Zombies multiplayer. Yeah.
That would be cool.
No.
What? Any medium in which I can kick your ass is a good medium.
You suck.
Ever medium.
Didn't I send you Plants vs. Zombies? You never played it, did you?
Dude, I played the crap out of it.
No.
What are you talking about? I love that game. I'm contemplating buying it on other consoles.
Yeah, I bought it on iPad. I finished the campaign on the iPad, too.
Dude, the iPad is made for Plants vs. Zombies.
It totally is.
I saw two other rumor reports, both about the same thing. One that the PlayStation Vita is coming out in November, and another one that it's coming out in January. And I mean, it's hard to believe any rumors about anything, obviously, especially in regards to hardware. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
It seems crazy that it would release in January. They have to hit it through the holidays.
I think so, too. I just think November seems really soon for them to release that.
Well,
I mean, December is like 1 month after that, but I think that December would be probably when they would release that.
You don't have time to ramp up your marketing campaign. You just don't.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
I'm surprised they wouldn't be releasing it in October. You know, just to get the marketing buzz. You know, and kids talking about it with their friends before they go home for Christmas break, things like that. But yeah, it's if it gets pushed, if it doesn't get released in the holidays of this year, they might as well leave it for some time else, for Christmas the next year. I mean, like, some ridiculous amount of household spending is expended in November and December.
Oh, of course.
It's like 40% of the total household spending, so to not have your product available, that is...
Well, I mean, like, they need look no further than the 3DS, I mean, for... Yeah. Many reasons. I mean, the launch lineup, the hardware itself, and also the launch window. But I mean, that's obvious. That's not doing very well.
Yeah. Well, they're going to release this thing no matter what, and I think they'll release it for this holiday.
When do you think they're going to release the Wii U?
Never.
Ballpark.
I hope they don't. I hope they take the whole thing to the back of the drawing board. I think it doesn't matter, but probably late summer next year.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
because right now it doesn't even seem like they have an idea of what they're doing with
it. They don't have a clue.
You know,
we talked about this last week. They're just, but yeah, it's they don't necessarily need to be slaves to the holiday release schedule. But they do need to get it out there and make sure that they make sure their supply chain is intact. So,
yeah. Price drop before the end of the year.
Didn't the 3DS come out this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. No way. Yeah, I don't think so. What's it? It's at $299.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So they're just going to compete with the Vita until they feel.
I think they're going to say we're taking the long game on this, and we're just going to keep it at $299.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
You know what they're selling to parents is an image, and you know the PlayStation is like, oh, it's $249, but oh, you're going to play Uncharted. Your kid can't play Uncharted, so the 3DS is like, hey, we got Mario, even though it's $299. So. Then again, the 3DS can't be played by anyone under 7 years old, so that's another problem.
Yeah. What a weird
system. As we talked about last week, 2 weeks ago, the handheld space is in shambles, whether they realize it or not. So.
Well, Ocarina of Time 3D just came out. And it's getting great reviews.
Two fabulous reviews of, hey, this game is just as good as it was when I played it, 12 years ago, so...
So, take that as you will, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, great. Nintendo can successfully port a 14-year-old game. That's not...
Well, I was watching footage of it today, and I was just like, this looks awesome. And I would like a new Zelda game, please. Thanks. Yeah, like, that's exactly. That's how I feel about it.
Pretty much.
I mean, if they remade Link to the Past, I would play that, because that's hands down my favorite Link game, Zelda game of all time. But I don't know. It's just something about, you know, looking at it, I'm like, this looks beautiful. Like, I know they spent a lot of time on this. They did a great job with this. But this is not a system seller for me.
Yeah.
You know? So, but anyway, we've talked about the 3DS at length.
Yes.
So this week, I think we're talking a little bit about Origin, EA's new download service, is our topic of the week. There was some drama because of the status of Crysis 2 on Steam.
Specifically EA games.
Last week Crysis 2 was pulled from Steam for people who wanted to purchase it, not for people who already, you know, own the game. And there was this whole thing about, like, why are they doing this? You know, what's the issue? And nobody was very forthcoming, neither Valve.
And coincidentally, Origin launched a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So the immediate assumption was, oh, EA is starting to pull its games off of Steam and other downloadable services and to make them Origin exclusive, Origin being EA's download center. Now, it should be clear that Origin is just what they're branding their download center as, and sort of their, you know, game services thing. That's where you'll register all your DLC, all this stuff. You know, it's not a client that runs on your desktop like Steam.
Right.
It's just a place you go to download stuff. So in that way, it's much more like Direct to Drive or something like that. So, you know, some of this stuff, due to the lack of communication, you know, the games press sort of blew this out of proportion. You know, turns out Crysis was pulled off of Steam because Steam doesn't allow downloadable content to be withheld from the games that it sells, which is what EA was and the Crysis team were doing.
They wanted to make that exclusive through Origin.
No, they signed a deal with somebody else. I don't know if it was Direct to Drive or some other Impulse or somebody like that, Gamer's Gate, I don't know, sent a deal for downloadable content on one of those things, and it wasn't going to be included for Steam. And Steam was like, okay, you're done. And so it was just, you know, one of those things. It's a marketing thing. Other EA games are still on Steam, will continue to be on Steam. So, you know, it's really, really kind of a minor thing. But it does bring to the forefront this sort of looming battle. Because the publishers are desperate to control some of those revenue sources which have escaped them. And it's much like the problems that video movie companies are having and distribution companies, where they, you know, Hulu exists and, you know, is not as dominant as Steam is in its space, but it's a big thing and it streams things to people and, hey, great. But all the production companies and the distributors and stuff are looking at that and saying, why can't I create this site for just my things?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a consumer-friendly move, but it is better for the publishers in general.
Sure.
So it just makes our lives much, much more of a pain in the ass, which pisses us off. But
well, I mean, gamers, I mean, as a representative of human beings in general, I think tend to have multiple sides to their desires, especially with purchasing. I mean, on the one hand, we want to go to one place and, like, download everything from one place. On the other hand, we like to have options. So, like, I like having Steam, and it makes things a lot easier, you know, just so I can download everything from one place. But at the same time, like, I don't like the way that Apple, for example, has, like, such a tight grip on its market in terms of its apps and the way that it does business and stuff like that. And if Steam were to become more like that, like, have sort of a monopoly over game downloads, like, that would piss me off. So I think that it's a, like, you're right, it is a good move for EA to do that to protect their own interests, you know, but it's kind of a crap move for the consumers, for sure. I mean, like, you and I both download a ton of stuff off of Steam. I've been playing Mass Effect 3, for example. Mass Effect 2.
I was
going to
say, you fucker.
I got it. I got an advanced copy. You're in advance. I've been playing the Mass Effect series, like, on 360, so that hasn't really been an issue, but you've been playing on PC.
Yeah.
So, like, now you got to download it off of the Origin store. Like,
maybe. You know, we don't know yet. The other thing that has made this whole thing tougher, because Alice Madness Returns wasn't originally on Steam when it, you know, wasn't scheduled for release on Steam, but that's because EA puts things on Steam really close to their release date, and so like they were gonna they put it up on Steam and it's available for sale now. That's just the way EA does this. You know, the comparison of Steam and Apple is different because Apple controls every part of that ecosystem. It controls the devices, it controls the computers, and they're being dicks about it. But they want to, their mantra is to control the customer experience as much as possible. They don't want other people mucking around in it. Steam is just a platform to get games from. They're never going to be able to say, you can only download games from us. You know, there will always be other ways to get games, you know, whether it's from an independent developer or whatever. Things will get out. That's just the way it works.
Sure, yeah, of course.
But, so I'm not, I mean, and frankly, the fact is, I mean, Steam was crap when it launched. It has become the best, most reliable game delivery platform. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a system that is going to work every time, that, you know, is going to have the games that I want, is going to do cloud saves, which it does now. It's got its own achievement system. It's got, you know, community built around it. And it, you know, and it has really, really good game deals. You know, that's what I'm looking for. You know, all in one place. If I have to go to 16 different places to get games, I'm going to buy less games. Because it's too much of a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Then I really am only going to buy the stuff that really gets people's attention. And even then, it better be real easy. You know, some of these games that, you know, we, as the hardest, well, as the corest of the hardcore, we hear about these indie games and stuff that's like, oh, that sounds really cool and stuff, but you got to go to some Belgian site and put in things and put in a Babelfish and translate it and find some place to give, some way to give them money. And it's like, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry. You know? So yeah, I mean, Steam as a platform is really good. I do, to your Apple point, I do have concerns about Valve also being a game developer, but they have thus far proven to be a fairly benevolent dictator, and until they, you know, give me any reason to have any misgivings, I'm going to trust them. I sure as hell trust them more than somebody like Activision or somebody like EA, who have proven that they're going to be dicks at every opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard, and the other thing is that with Steam, I mean, you have such a great market there for all the weekly sales that they do, like the yearly sales that they do, you know, especially around the holidays and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, like, you alone probably support...
Oh, my God. There's some developer buying his second Ferrari because of me.
So, I mean, as a consumer, it's just a great way to buy games. Yeah. And a great way to keep, and they have their whole achievement, you know, together. And I respect what EA is doing. They're trying to, like... They're trying to make a whole, like, not maybe not a platform, but a whole service so that you can keep track of all your EA games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's great, but, like, I am not interested in separating my EA games from the rest of my games. Right. You know, like, I want everything in the same place.
Yeah.
And
to be fair, I mean, I'm presuming that this is all a gigantic PR and communications fuck-up by EA. I'm fairly certain that all they're doing is just rebranding the stuff that's always existed for EA games.
Yeah.
You know, you sign into Mass Effect 2, it signs into the, you know, Mass Effect Network or whatever the hell they call that thing. If you want to buy DLC for that game, you can go to their site, buy it, and then it appears in your game. That's relatively pain-free, and probably with this whole rebranding and bringing everything under the same umbrella, it will improve that process, which is fine by me. That's, you know, the fact that you will also be able to download the game if you bought it from them, you know, re-download it from them, is incidental to what its actual purpose is, but, you know, that was their talking point for the service, and that's what got it all fucked up. You know, EA is a gigantic company that is prone to fuck-ups, but, you know, I don't believe until they start really pulling our tails that they're going to be deliberately messing with us. You know, somebody pointed out today, you know, the thing that really pissed me off about the EA download store was, hey, you know, you buy this game from us, great. Do you want to spend $5 so that you can re-download this game once?
That's ridiculous.
That was the bullshit, you know, kind of like, hell no.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And that's going away. So, good. They're learning. You know, that's fine. So, yeah.
But to your Mass Effect point, I think that something that's really annoying, that EA has proven that is really annoying, is the whole Cerberus network thing.
Yeah.
Where the first thing, we were talking about this the other day, and EA is not the only company that does this, is that you log into the game, and the first thing it does is it checks for downloadable content. You're basically sitting there while it, you know,
yeah,
connects and then lets you know about what's available. Which is fine, but run that in the background.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be... I know they're trying to sell stuff, but for me, as again, as a consumer, like, that gets on my nerves. Because if there's DLC, like, I'm going to go looking for it. And I've... It's a certain type of advertising that I don't want in my game.
Yeah.
And that's why I've bought the game, and it's not like a free-to-play thing that I'm like expecting that there's going to be ads in-game, regardless of that it's coming from the parent company that made it.
Yeah, I mean, what they should do, I mean, that's there for the people who aren't the corest of the hardcore, who don't know, who don't track
games. Yeah, sure, sure.
There should be an option in the options menus, you know, put it two menus in or something like that, so that casual consumers will never find it by accident, but so that the hardcore who do go fuck with the settings can go in and turn that shit off immediately and be like, don't tell me about this shit. Mm-hmm. You know, trust me, I'm going to know about it probably before you do, you fuckers. You know, and then just stop seeing that notice. That would be nice, but, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, we're going to be stuck with that stuff. You know, now that you remind me, that the service network thing is really annoying because it took a considerable amount of time. It literally frees up my Mass Effect game while I sat there and thought for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I got it.
Well, it's the same with Mortal Kombat. It's the same with Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I mean, like, you're sitting there. It's not a huge deal, and it only happens when you first load up the game. But still, it's like, dude, I bought this game. Like, if I want DLC, like you said, I'm going to probably figure out before you use...
Or, you know, the service network, in addition to having that check right at the beginning, it had a little scroll bar where it was just like, hey, you know, there's new stuff coming out, you know. Leave that in there, that's fine. I don't care. I can see that or not see it.
But load that in the background.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And, you know, hopefully somebody will see it that way.
Yeah. But,
Who knows?
So, we'll see. It remains to be seen exactly how they're going to implement Origin down the line with the bigger titles. But,
yeah. We'll see. I mean, Battlefield and Mass Effect are the two big tests.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, Mass Effect, I can see as not being a big... I can see people going for Mass Effect, like, wherever they need to go. But do you think that if they limit Battlefield sales to Origin... what effect do you think that would have on the sales of Battlefield?
Well, I mean, I think Arthur Geese put it very succinctly, I don't know where, probably on Rebel FM, he said, Modern Warfare will have a very good year, because people won't put up with it. They'll be like, hey, Modern Warfare is on my Steam, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
And the worst part...
I feel the same way.
The worst part about that is that it fractures the community. You know, I've been playing Blops, and like at most there's 22,000 people playing Blops, and at you know times when I'm playing there's like 9,000 people playing, and it's like that seems like a goodly number until you've tried to play a few multiplayer games, and it's like, you know, dude, there's only 4 people on the server because there's there's 1,000 servers but only 9,000 people playing. So I don't know, it's problematic. I think Battlefield 3 will do very, very well, and I think, you know, just despite what they're saying about Battlefield being a PC lead title, they really want to sell on consoles.
Of course, yeah, they do.
So we'll see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, but it does seem like they're missing an opportunity if they're just going to release it on Origin.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's still going to be available on Steam. They would be, again, just because you want to try and start to compete with Steam doesn't mean you can say, we're not putting your Steam.
They have to know that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And, EA and Valve have had a good relationship.
Yeah.
You know, EA distributed the Orange Box, so, yeah. Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is where we do reader mail, but we don't have any reader mail, so fuck all y'all.
So start writing in, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, send them to...
sdrgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
Ah, good.
Or you can just write them in the comments field on the site.
Yes. Or you could send us a Twitter message. I'm at BrianWP.
And I'm at Sominator.
Okay, great.
We're on iTunes, so give us a good rating. Leave us a comment. And, dude, we're on iTunes.
We're hell of on iTunes.
Something else we need to plug? Oh, the website, strgamer. strgamer.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Check out this podcast, which is awesome.
But you already know that if you're listening to it.
Well, they should.
Yes. We should probably end this.
We've said too much.
No, we've said too much. I hope my battery didn't die. Okay, good.